Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for a continuing discussion by Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is a professor of journalism ethics, mass communication, and expert on media. We've been discussing the canceling of Kimmel and the pressure that was placed on ABC via statements by FCC chairperson Brendan Carr, indicating that ABC affiliates should preempt Mr. Kimmel, which would lead to a massive loss of revenue for ABC, as well as the pending merger between other ABC affiliates to the tune of $6.2 billion. All of this eerily similar to what occurred with Stephen Colbert just a few weeks ago. What Mr. Kimmel said, arguably very distasteful. We're going to get to the phones. If you have questions for Dr. Bartson-Culver or myself, comments 855-752-4842. But in the break, we were talking about why this is different from other situations. And I wanted to start with perhaps one of the most recent, absolutely disgusting statements made by a personality on a national program. And that is what Brian Kilmeade said on Fox News. Now, Mr. Kimmel is a comedian. Comedy is often distasteful. It is subjective. Mr. Kilmeade is a media personality that gives commentary. I would argue a little bit of a different standard might apply, meaning the person that does media commentator should be held to a higher standard, I would say. But let's take a listen to what Mr. Kilmeade said that didn't get him fired, didn't see any outrage from the right, didn't have FCC chairperson Carr threatening Fox affiliate licenses. Take a listen.
They have given billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right.
Okay, we don't need to listen to the rest. That's Brian Kilmeade suggesting that homeless folks or unhoused people, humans, Americans, should just be killed. Unbelievable. Katie, your reactions to this, and then I want to contrast, you know, the firing of Tucker Carlson or Bill O'Reilly and other big media names that have been let go by their networks. But your reaction to the different treatment between Brian Kilmeade and Mr. Kimmel?
I found the Kilmeade statement absolutely breathtaking. And to be honest, I expected immediate action, immediate discipline. Now, the timing, you know, the assassination of Charlie Kirk did come very fast on the heels, you know, maybe even just within a few hours. And so, you know, I don't know that people really were sort of paying attention to it. I am glad that there was pressure. You know, it did come back into attention. It did not produce the outrage that I think that it deserved. He did offer something approaching an apology on air, which is good. That's better. That's better than just throwing something onto Twitter or X or Twixter, whatever we're going to call it now.
Yep.
But you know, this is a statement about human beings. And, you know, while I think Jimmy Kimmel's statement, I think people are reading it in very different ways, by the way, what Kimmel said, it wasn't advocating the killing of human beings, and it wasn't in any way endorsing. You know, it is not as if Jimmy Kimmel was in his monologue saying, "Hey, fascist, catch." Like, that is not, which is what was written on one of the bullets.
Right.
That is not what we're talking about. An involuntary lethal injection is of another order. And were I at the helm of that news organization, that person would not have a job.
Yeah, I think the difference in reaction, the difference in treatment speaks for itself. And let's just very briefly, and then we want to go to the phones. Chad, Nancy, and Chrissy, we're going to get to you in just one second. Tucker Carlson, by my recollection, was fired after Fox had to nearly pay $1 billion to Dominion Voting Systems, right, over lies spread on Fox's network. And he had, I think, two sexual harassment lawsuits going on. he was a beleaguered host with good ratings, admittedly. But at the time, the Biden-appointed FCC chairperson wasn't threatening Fox's local affiliates or threatening Fox itself. That didn't happen. It's different, isn't it?
No, there was never any government involvement in what was going on with Tucker Carlson. And in fact, so there wasn't a direct line between the Dominion voting systems case and Tucker's firing. It was, I think, a culmination of things. But, you know, most media watchers would say that it would boil down to Tucker got too big for his britches within Fox. And that, you know, the mistake a media personality can make is getting bigger than the network that he or she is on. And that's the mistake that Tucker made. You know, another very big personality that was ousted from Fox was Bill O'Reilly. There had been lots of pressure from interest groups to get rid of Bill O'Reilly, but it was ultimately, Fox's vulnerability for, employee hostile environment litigation that was the undoing of his career. So no, never FCC interactions forcing these folks out, and arguably not even response to pressure from, interest groups or, even just citizens complaining to that work.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Christy from Delafield, say hello to Katie. What is your comment or question this afternoon? Christy, are you there?
Yes, Christy. I think I want to point out that, my reaction to all of the media personalities who are reacting to this is that I feel that everybody's bending over backwards to not be become a target. And quite frankly, I do not think that what Jimmy Kimmel said was distasteful in the least. He didn't make fun of Charlie Kirk or his movement or the killing. He made fun of the way that MAGA is trying to frame this as though it was done by some left wing cabal. And then he went on to make fun of Trump's reaction to it, on the tarmac or wherever it was, where he was asked how he's coping, and he said, "Oh, pretty good. And over here, we're building the ballroom." And he went on to describe that. So it bothers me that we are bending over backwards to not, to make sure that we say that, oh, what Jimmy Kimmel said was distasteful, when it really wasn't much, it was pretty tame comedy in the overall.
Yeah. Thanks, Christy, so much. I think that the point here, at least for me, and Katie, I want to hear from you as well, is it was an arguable subjective question of tastefulness in comedy. That is not something that is, quote, news distortion or, quote, undermines the public interest. Katie, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny because I've been having a lot of discussions with a lot of friends in journalism circles about whether what he said was factually inaccurate. And I keep saying, where was the factual assertion? And I think a lot of it revolves around the implication of whether this alleged assailant was, from the left, from the right, radical, not radical, what was the motivation? And the answer to all of that is we don't know. So, I think Kimmel was out on a limb in that regard. But I think what Christy points out here is such an important point, which is we all need to understand that questions of bias in media are really in the eye of the beholder. Yeah. So we assume that media content is biased, but when people like me and my colleagues do research on it, we can present the exact same message to partisans on the left and the right, and they will read the exact same message as biased against their interests or their beliefs. It's something called the hostile media effect. And it doesn't even have to be about political coverage. It can be about health. It can be about all sorts of things. And so, I By the way, I think the very important point here to be made here is that a small number of people knew about Kimmel's monologue or heard that until Carr made these accusations, and now tens of millions more people have heard
the joke.
So this is, it works against ultimately what Carr, I think, was trying to do. But I heard it in the thing that stuck out to me was using it for political gain, because I still receive targeted fundraising messages online from my father, who is now deceased, but donated to conservative causes. And I was struck at how quickly, not even 24 hours had passed after Charlie Kirk's death, that I had received some messages doing fundraising on his death. And that to me did strike me as using his death to score political points. And so I saw the monologue in a completely different way.
Yes.
So we read things coming from our own experiences and perspectives. So Christy has an excellent point.
Folks, that's Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of UW-Madison, expert on the media, joining us today. Here was Brendan Carr, FCC chairman, back when he wasn't chairman in 2022, again on X. President Biden is right. Political satire, which is what Jimmy Kimmel was doing, political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech. It challenges those in power while using humor to draw more people into the discussion. That's why people in influential positions have always targeted for censorship. That was Brendan Carr then. Let's listen to Brendan Carr now. This is from just an hour or so ago, again on Fox News. Take a listen to this.
So again, we're going back to that era when local TV stations judging the public interest get to decide what the American people think. And again, we're constraining the power through those actions of Disney, of Comcast. I think the American public are going to be much better off. But yeah, I don't think this is the last shoe to drop. This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem. And I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Yeah. And he was on another news program or podcast earlier today talking explicitly name check The View. So that happened as well. Let's see if we can squeeze one more phone call. And Chad from Greenfield, say hello to Dr. Bartson Culver. What is your question or comment?
Well, I have a question for you, Megan, and I have a couple of comments. I hope I can get them all in because these get cut off. But anyways, first of all, you keep shielding Kimmel as a comedian. What did he say that was funny in his line? What was the joke? What was the punchline? It was a political statement, what he said. It was not a joke.
It was part of a monologue that is comedic, but I'll grant you that some people think things are funny and some don't. You don't think it's funny.
But what was the joke? Okay, you think it was funny. What was the joke?
The last caller just explained it. I'm not going to debate comedy with you. What were your other points, Chad?
Sure. Okay. Is Roseanne Barr a comedian?
Yes.
Okay. Well, who fired Roseanne Barr? ABC, Disney.
The question, Chad, is whether or not the federal government pressured ABC to fire her. That's the difference.
Well, you have no difference. Proof of that. That's a legend. Now, ABC fired Roseanne, and she's a comedian. You use comedian. Yeah.
Sorry, Chad, legit, I will stand by Roseanne Barr's right to say whatever the heck she wants and ABC's right to fire her. What I won't abide is the federal government using effectively extortion through the potential blockage of mergers to impact what ABC or CBS